So we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti, text 14. Antastha sarvabhutanam Atma Yogeshwaro Hari Swamayaya Vrinod Garbham Vairatya Kurutantave Antastha Sarvabhutanam Atma Yogeshwaro Hari Samayaya Vrinod Garbham Vairatya Kurutantave Translation. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. Purport. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism can simultaneously reside within everyone's heart or even within the atoms by his Paramatma feature, his plenary portion. Therefore, from within the body of Uttara, he covered the embryo to save Maharaj Pariksit and protect the progeny of Maharaj Kuru, of whom King Pandu was also a descendant. Both the sons of Dhritarashtra and those of Pandu belonged to the same dynasty of Maharaj Kuru, therefore both of them were generally known as Kurus. But when there were differences between the two families, the sons of Dhritarashtra were known as Kurus, whereas the sons of Pandu were known as Pandavas. Since the sons and grandsons of Dhritarashtra were all killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra, the last son of the dynasty is designated as the son of the Kurus. Om Agyana Timanangasya Ginanana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Antastha Sarvabhutanam, or the Lord is within all living beings. And Lord Krishna, therefore, from within, is there as Upadrasta and Anumanta. He is there as the witness who sees everything, the Upadrasta, the overseer. He is overseeing from within our sojourn within the material energy. He's in particularly overseeing the condition of our heart, how we are developing desires, and he is seeing how we are acting. He is one of the main witnesses. There are 13 witnesses: the day, the night, the earth, the water, the moon, the sun, the demigods, the fire. But the most important of all the witnesses is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nonetheless, the various witnesses are carefully noticing and recording everything that goes on, that the living entity does. Yamaraj is recording, and the 10 directions are recording. Therefore, one cannot hide. Although a man inclined towards sinful activities is inclined to hide in the darkness of the night, in a deep, dark, cave-like place. You see, there are like cave-like restaurants, which are the meat restaurants where people go inside, you know, for the barbecue, or bars that are dark and grotty. Right? Because all these activities are happening at night. Prostitutes work overtime at night. And the day, some also during the day. In some places it goes on 24 hours in shifts, but that is another matter. That is Kali Yuga, the age of darkness, which is everywhere. So the Lord, amidst all this, is not shocked nor surprised. We may be shocked when we hear of the degraded activities that are going on within the material world. We may experience horror if we hear what terrible things people may do. But Lord Krishna is not shocked, because he knows everything. He is abhigya. He is all-knowing. So all these things are understood. The Lord understands that these things are there. He immediately foresees it. We can be surprised by things, and we are. Therefore, each time we are walking amidst Kali Yuga, and we are just saying, phew, wow, it is too much. How is this possible? Because this is very much where we are, in the middle of Kali Yuga. Right? And Kali Yuga, the age of materialism, the age of madness, the age of degradation, the age of selfishness, the age of materialism, the age of hard-hearted people, the age where nobody cares, where every living entity is simply being exploited by another, that age is predominant everywhere. And we may try to find shelter of that, but it's not so easy. That age is present. But Lord Krishna also has the other side. He is Anumanta. So from within, he is giving Anumiti. Anumiti means permission. So Anumanta means the one who's sanctioning. He's giving permission. So Lord Krishna, as the super soul, is giving permission for different activities or not. He is the one who has the permission in his hands. Okay? So we can see how the Lord is giving permission or not. Sometimes we are able to satisfy our material sinful desires. Everything is going very, very nicely as we are trying to do so. And other times we are constantly obstructed. And from within we may receive warnings, don't do this, don't do this. Right? And when it does go wrong, in our heart we know why it went wrong. We know it. So this is all the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a devotee who is Krishna conscious, he understands that his solace is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is making it very clear. Immediately in the first verse, Janmadiyas Shayatun Vayat Itaratas Chate Swabhikyaswarat Tene Brahmaridada Yadikavaye Muyantiyat Suryaha. It is explaining that the Lord is the origin of everything. So no matter what happens, any circumstance, the origin of it is always Krishna. So therefore, ultimately, it doesn't matter what happens, ultimately one can see Krishna is behind all this. Whatever his plan is, we may not know. But anyway, Krishna is behind it all. So therefore there is no point to become disturbed in the material world. Although within the age of Kali, everyone is described as manda sumanda matayo mandabhagya hi upadruta. Or everyone is lazy, everyone is slow-witted, and everyone is upadruta, always disturbed, always agitated by something. Because it's an agitating situation. There's always something to agitate. There's always something to agitate in this age. And, of course, I don't want to be so pessimistic. There are moments of peace, but still, they won't last that long, right? I mean, I don't know how it is for others. Maybe others have more peace than I do, but I don't believe it, right? I don't have much, you know. I try each time to find some peace somewhere, but some disturbance is following me. Somehow or other, wherever I go, you know, something happens, right? Something comes, you know. Sometimes, when everything is all right, then in the middle of it all, My body certainly decides to cause the disturbance. Whatever it may be, disturbance comes. Right? If there is the threefold miseries, and these threefold miseries never fail to strike, right? Either sufferings from the body or mind, sufferings from other living entities, suffering from the natural circumstances, they always seem to catch up with me wherever I go for some peaceful moments, you know. And when I escape one, I get hit by the other. For example, the last few years I was escaping the winter here, and I was going to South Africa, nice and warm place. But then the humidity was so bizarre that my sinus went like it never went before, and I went into sneezes like I couldn't imagine even in Europe, you know. It was flower season, right? Flowers everywhere, big African flowers, you know. And I happened to be allergic to African flowers, I found out. So in this way, there came a little adhyatmika. I was trying to escape the Adidaivika and walked from Adidaivika straight into Adiatmika Klesh. And this is how it goes. While we are running away from sufferings from the body, or from the natural circumstances, we run into sufferings of the body and the other way around. So, other devotee is understanding that this is Kali Yuga. This is not the age of peace. This is not the age of peace. Whatever this age is, it's not the age of peace. Satya Yuga is the peaceful age. Satya Yuga is the smooth age. It is now inconceivable. Even Treta Yuga was so nice. It said at the time of Lord Ramachandra, if things were not going in a very regulated way, then immediately the brahmanas were looking into the matter. When there was no rain in the kingdom, then the brahmanas could understand there is a drought because there's some sinful activity going on. They could find the cause of the sinful activity and find the remedy for it. Right? In these days, you know, natural circumstances do what they want. Right? Hurricanes blow over America and blow away houses. There's eternal rain. And other varieties of misery, and all over the world, the natural conditions are becoming harsh. It's a struggle. People are talking about living with nature, and that's very easy when you sit in your armchair. In the room with the central heating, or in your car while you turn on the window wipers, right? But living with nature is a lot rougher when you're out there walking in the bizarre autumn winds, right? There's no doubt about it. Because Kali Yuga is a tough age. Anyway, we don't take that very serious, Kali Yuga. I mentioned the story before, but still I'll mention it, that I went to Karoli, to the temple of Madan Mohan, and that I met the pujari there. And he was such a nice pujari. He was a very sattvic pujari, nice Vaishnava. So I was speaking with him, and he offered me lots of mahaprasadam, and it was very nice. And then I wanted to explain to him that he was very fortunate that he was in such a nice place as Karoli, and that Karoli was a very important place in the world because the influence of Kali Yuga in Karoli had not yet come about so much as in the rest of the world. Right? So I said to him, you don't know. He said, but outside of Karoli, Kali Yuga is really bad, right? I said to him. And he said, oh, Kali Yuga, there are 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma. What's Kali Yuga? Right? So I was thinking I'm going to tell him something, but he told me something, actually. Right? That's how it was. And so it is very true that we don't worry so much, Kali Yuga. Therefore, our shelter is Janmadi Ashriyatonvayat, Itaratas Chateshvabhikyaswarat. To understand Lord Krishna, to understand the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in eternity, then all the temporary anxieties and the temporary needs and choices that we have to make in this world and decisions and sacrifices, etc., are so insignificant. As soon as we shift our focus to eternity, so this is actually transcendence. One very important aspect of Krishna consciousness is to understand the eternal nature of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna spends quite some energy in presenting many convincing arguments about the eternal nature of the living entity, of the Supreme Lord Himself, of our existence. There are many verses, na jayate mriyateva kadachin or na tvevaham jatunatam, etc. We can go, never was there a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, everyone eternal, or the soul will never die, never took birth, eternity, eternity, eternity. So this is very important, that we thoroughly absorb the vision of eternity, and that we look at the world with the glasses of eternity, and that we say, whatever I'm seeing here is just now in these particular forms. Tejo varimedam yatavinimayo yatatri sargamrissa damnas svena sadani rastakurkam satyam param dimahi. Satyam param. We are just remembering the eternal absolute truth. We are knowing that all these other forms and things that are coming about are simply products of the illusory energy. And that the illusory energy is producing sound, forms, touch, taste, smells in front of our eyes and senses that agitate us, that either attract us or we feel repulsed by them. And therefore, sankalpa vikalpa, we get caught up in making choices. Shall I accept? Shall I reject? Is this good? Is this bad? Is this what I should be doing? Is this not what I should be doing? Should I do something else? Should I? All the questions, right? But actually, the process is so simple. Mm-hmm. So Srila Prabhupada made the process of Krishna consciousness very, very simple. You just need a few steps of land to lie down on, and you just need a little bit of prasadam, some little clothing, and some service. What more would you need? What more would you need? Okay, that some people felt, well, but that's not practical. That wasn't practical. Me too. I felt that I wanted a few walls around the few feet as well, right? I didn't mind having a few feet to sleep on, but I wanted a few walls because in this age of Kali, right, there is so much restlessness that I felt that a few walls will help me to protect me from all this restlessness. I have to protect my situation so I can cultivate Krishna consciousness. So, a few walls. All right. Whatever we may require like that to protect our Krishna consciousness may have to come. But ultimately, if one can somehow or other tolerate, if one can tolerate to live with a few feet of earth, little prasadam, little service, and chanting Hare Krishna, he'll go back to Godhead. It's enough to go back to Godhead. That should be understood. The mind may tell you, I'm going mad amidst all this. Okay, that's another story. That's another story. Therefore, we may say, well, because my mind, I had some walls. That's for the mind. It's not required for Krishna consciousness, but for peace of mind, okay, we add some walls. And you say, well, you know, if I have only such a few feet with some walls around it, that's like a cupboard, I get claustrophobic, you know. I need bigger, right? I need some space to walk, you know. Right? Like that, you know. Sure, you can have space to walk. Of course, the ancient sages, they understood it very well. In the Greek philosophers, we find an interesting description of in Plato's Republic, right? How in Plato's Republic, Plato is describing how Socrates was speaking, because that's how he's writing. Huh? Plato is never saying anything himself. It was always Socrates who was saying it. So, whatever. So Socrates was saying that if you want to have a perfect state, then you should make your residence not too close to the coast. Because when you get too close to the coast, then there will be trade, and immediately greed will come, and this will spoil everything. So we're not going to live near the coast. We're going to live away from the coast. So then we're going to live very simple, in very simple houses, and we'll have very simple facilities, you know, and this will be the ideal state. So some people in the assembly were looking at it really with sour faces, you know. So Socrates said, you don't like what I'm saying? And some said, no, if this is the ideal state, you know, then I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if I want to live in such a state, you know. I mean, like, all living so austere and simple, you know, on like very simple benches and this, that. I mean, he said, well, then what would you like? He said, well, I would like some cushions and some silk and some, you know, some bolsters and something to eat and something to drink and some, you know, I mean, some joys and pleasures in life. So Socrates said, okay, well, then we'll have to have an army. He said, then we'll have to have an army. He said, what do you mean, have to have an army? Okay. He said, yeah, then we'll have to have an army, because then we need more land. Then we need more land. Because then we need so many things. So then we have to invade our neighbors and take their land. And we'll have to protect ourselves from our neighbors, right, in the public. And we'll have to maintain a whole army, and we have to maintain a whole thing. So this is, of course, the illustration of the fact that the more arrangements you make for living in this world, that the more arrangements are needed to maintain the arrangements. Every arrangement needs some arrangement to support it. The arrangements in this world never come alone. Huh? Yes. Some wise men are now nodding with realizations, and this is true. So the more you, as soon as you get some facility in this world, you're running after it to maintain it, to support it, to protect it, to etc. And things are happening to it, and therefore you have to watch it. And part of your consciousness goes into the things. So then we have come to the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where this is being discussed by the mental sons of Lord Brahma, who were sages, and who asked this question to Lord Brahma: how is it that the mind is always going into the things, and that the things are going into the mind? And Lord Brahma could not answer, because he himself sometimes had things on his mind. Yes, this is the problem. So who does not have things on his mind? Huh? Is there anyone who doesn't have anything on his mind right now? Something, some little worry, some little, you know, okay, we put it temporarily on the shelf because it's Bhagavatam class, right? But is there anyone who has nothing on his mind? Absolutely nothing? Nothing to do, nothing to worry about? Absolutely nothing? I don't believe it. If that is so, then that's absolutely amazing. Everyone has some. And then I'll tell you, as a doomsday prophet, it won't last. Because you have to have something on your mind. This is even in the very beginning of the creation, this was going on. That the mental sons of Lord Brahma, who were like the most exalted sages and very pure and powerful, even they had things on their mind. What to speak of us in Kali Yuga? We got a million things on our mind. right? And the mind is very preoccupied with all the things to look after. And therefore, we are guarding all these mental things in our mind, right? We are sitting on it like a yaksha is guarding his gold. We are guarding all the things on our mind. We are thinking about them, and we do not let anyone interfere with them. And we are just making sure that things are all right, you know, like so that we can take care of our things. We remember exactly who we borrowed things to and that they still did not return them. We forgot some things, you know. We'd better make sure we get them back. Some of our possessions are breaking. Some of our relationships with people are disturbed, and what may become of the future? What may become of the world? You know, I mean, I'm telling you, there's no peace. So how in the midst of all this can we possibly think of Krishna? Because that's what it's all about. We are simply meant to forget everything. We're meant to forget everything. We are meant to be very, very simple and just think of Krishna. For Krishna, then again, once you start thinking of Krishna, you think, okay, so we joined like that, right? I joined like that. I left everything behind. I walked out of my house, you know, not even taking care to give away my possessions. No, I just left them standing there and just walked out, only to find out that the bhakta leader, when I joined, started inquiring, so, what did you used to do before you were a devotee? Different things. I used to play guitar. Oh, you used to play guitar? What kind of guitar did you have? Huh? Oh, Fender? What type of Fender? Oh, good. And other guitars as well. Acoustic ones? What kind of? Oh, good guitar, huh? Yeah, not bad. And the amplifier as well, I guess, huh? Yeah, sure, yeah. I mean, it was obvious what they were after. Right? He was probing and fishing and trying to find out what I had. And okay, I was detached already. I had already left it, so I told him, and I said, yeah, I have this, you know. I have this special tape recorder, you know, a professional one, and I saw, bang! So his eyes opened wide, right? And that did it, you know. Then, after prasadam, there was a car, and we were going. We were going to pick up all my stuff. We went home, and we stripped everything and brought it back to the temple. I didn't mind. I thought it was good. Give it all to Krishna. I thought, very nice. And, of course, he was right. He was saving these things from the hands of Maya. Why not? Using them for Krishna. Huh? Yes, that's okay. No problem. You could have it. Huh? No, I didn't feel bad about it. It was good. Better than my so-called false renunciation, where I didn't care about things anymore, right? And just walked out of it all. Didn't so many people give away all the money they had and then join the temple like paupers, you know? Just gave away $1 million yesterday. Hare Krishna, I want to join, you know, temple president. Temple president died. The new bhakta that joined gave away $1 million yesterday. Because we need to engage these things in the service of Krishna. But still, when we join, it all comes back for Krishna. So many things. And we worry for Krishna this time. Again, we take worries and we take anxiety, but this time for Krishna. Because what do you think? You thought it's not easy to maintain a little house, right? You thought it's a trip to have a little house here somewhere and to look after that. Well, how do you think it is to look after a castle? It's a little bigger than your little house, right? So all the problems you have with your house are multiplied in this castle. Right? Can you imagine? Right? So in this way, when one becomes a temple president, that's a little different than just looking after a house. That means looking after a whole castle. What a trip. Right? And not just having a little family with a couple of kids, but having a huge family, right? With like so many people who are all, in a way, acting like it's sometimes. I do not wish to offend the Vaishnavas by saying this. I'm the biggest kid myself, and I'm sure you have found out about it, the way I make jokes and things like that. I'm very playful. Childish, you could say. Still not mature. Because in Kali Yuga, we don't really mature very much. We don't mature. In previous ages, people were so wise and so serious. But we remain frivolous like children in this age. Children, they cannot be serious very long. You know, if it gets serious, then they start getting very restless and they want to play and start getting... anyway, whatever, you know, they start to do something. Because they are restless and frivolous. They like it, jokes and things like that. Tamal Vrikshamaraj is... not Maharaj, Prabhu. Also Maharaj, but still. I got you mixed up with your Guru Maharaj, actually. I was thinking Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tamal Vriksha Prabhu. Is nodding. Because... And we see the kids are drumming, or they are or they are making color pictures there or something, coloring away. But you know, the adults are not doing that. But still, we are not maturing so much in this age. So it is very, very difficult for us to make advancement. So I'm now going to come to a conclusion. The conclusion then of what I'm saying is that Prabhupada initially gave Krishna consciousness in a very, very simple way. Very, very simple. If you look at the early ISKCON, it was so simple, and the devotees were living so simple, and they were just had simple faith in Prabhupada, and they were simply taking simply wonderfuls and prasadam, and, you know, and then they did Harinam all day, chanting Hare Krishna, especially in the beginning. You could hear Brahmananda singing Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. with that tune, etc. And everyone had full faith that this was the magic thing, you know, the magic thing, that this was going to do it. Nowadays, things have become so much more complex, right? We kind of, with a nostalgic feeling, right, of like, how nice, right, that kind of innocence, right? Look back at it, but we don't have that same innocence today. We are more practical and say, well, you know, but I need this, I need that, I need a little more than just, you know, sleeping on the floor, right? That won't work anymore. I don't think a brahmachari ashram sleeping on the wooden floorboards would be so popular these days, right? Anymore. Now they want either bunk beds or something like that, you know, a washing machine, etc. All these things are now very much part of it. Whatever it may be, things have become more complex. So with things becoming more complex, if I may take the word complex, right? And use the principle of the Bhagavatam. It said that, how is it that my mind goes into the things, right? And that the things go into my mind? I would say, how is it that my mind goes into the complex and that the complexes go into my mind? Right? Because the complexity of the material world gives us all kind of mental complexes. Right? This is exactly what is happening. We get mental complexes, right? Now I've brought it back to modern day Kali Yuga language, right? No longer the ancient language of the Bhagavatam, but now we're speaking of complexes. So life has become very complex, and we are getting complexes. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was discussing with Shamasundara different philosophers, then they came to the modern times. And then Shamasundara said, in the modern times, Srila Prabhupada, the philosophies are getting more and more complex. And Srila Prabhupada said, why? The philosophy is not getting any more complex. He said, the sun is still rising in the morning and still setting in the evening. So what is changing? The sun, the rising and setting of the sun is not changing. The philosophy is not changing. He says, but because what people are doing under the sun is becoming complex, therefore the philosophy is becoming complex. Right? So this is, we can contemplate this at least. I mean, I'm not saying that we should, in the mode of passion after this lecture, go for a severe simplification or something like that. But I'm just saying is like, we can contemplate this point for a moment. That because things in our movement have become more complex, therefore our whole spiritual life is full of complexities. And therefore it is quite difficult to take all decisions, to know how to do it and this, that. Right? So therefore the value of simplicity in spiritual life is not to be underestimated, because this is very ancient. This actually has its roots in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And with the very sages of Lord Brahma, the mental sons of Lord Brahma, who were born at the very, very beginning of creation, realizing this point. Better keep it simple. Right? The advantage of simplicity. So that we can keep in mind, because then it may be easier to remember Lord Krishna, because that's what it's all about. Somehow or other, we must remember, and we must accept what we are. Everyone has taken his birth in one of the 8,400,000 species. Maybe if you don't know what you are, at least it's one of those. So we are within one of the 8,400,000 species in a particular situation. And the problem is that every living entity in the material world, due to false ego, wants to be something else than he is. That's false ego. That we want to be something else than we are. So somehow or other, if we just accept what we are, if we accept our position, and from that position serve Krishna, and remember Krishna, and dedicate our life to Krishna, then we come to perfection. And then leave it up to Krishna, how he wants to utilize us, empower us, how much responsibility he wants to give us, etc. Leave all that up to Krishna. That is the simple path of Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'll stop now. Any questions or comments?
It seems to me that we, afterwards we went to it kind of rehearsal crisis with Asir and the other day, and then we had the kind of reflection period, and then there was similar emphasis given that we should go like on the programs in the morning and the temple worship, that was very important, and that gave a lot of dynamic inspiration, and that seems to confirm what you're saying.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple program, and the temple worship was part of it, and so many other things were part of it. Harinams were part of it, and many things. Prasadam distribution was part of it. So if we just follow the simple program Prabhupada gave, then Krishna consciousness will also be very simple. But if we make more arrangements, then you can still be Krishna conscious. It's not that someone who doesn't come to the temple program, that a grihastha who doesn't come to the temple program, cannot be Krishna conscious. He can be, but it is much more difficult. It's more difficult. It's just much more easy. And, of course, coming together in the temple as devotees creates a tremendous energy. And living together in a community is much easier than living alone with a family and trying to be Krishna conscious. But you can get a house somewhere on planet Earth and live there with wife and children and just worship Lord Krishna. It's possible, but not easy. Not easy. So the temple program is easier. Therefore, Prabhupada made nice arrangements in Los Angeles for all the grihasthas to live very close to the temple, very simple, practically like brahmacharis, he said. So that's how he envisioned grihasthas to live, or as a very nice way to live for grihasthas. There are other ways also that that grihasthas might live. But whatever way it is, simplicity helps us. So yes, your point is related, although mine is maybe broader in a sense, but yours is dealing with a particular aspect. Mother Nikunjavasini, you have your hand up also.
So if we accept ourselves as we are, what are we going to do with our shortcomings? Because it's, you have to work on character or something.
Sarvadharman Parichayamamikam Saranam Vaja. So we have to give up all other forms of things that we believe in. We just have to believe in Krishna and in Guru and in his instruction and surrender to whatever Guru and Krishna say. Then they will do the rest. Sarvadam Prithyamamagam Sanavaja. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. I can only do it from the beginning. Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha is Krishna's part. Krishna does that. He said, I will take away all the influence of sinful reactions. So your shortcomings, our shortcomings, are due to sinful reactions. And Krishna will then take those away. So in this way, we need not worry. That's Krishna's part of the deal, he says, if we do the other part. So we just have to do the other part, which means sarva dharman parichaya, to give up all other things that we have somehow or other attachment to, somehow or other believe in. We should just take shelter of Krishna. And that's very, very difficult. Very difficult, isn't it? So there's, of course, something more in our process that fills that in, kind of like a regulated activity that helps you to come to that point of sarva dharma parichaya, because you cannot just do it. Therefore, we have the regulated process of the temple worship, we have Vaishnava etiquette, we have many, many regulative principles that help us to go step by step towards this full surrender. But still, it has to be that, nothing else. And until the day you do it, full surrender, then, well, Krishna will give you time. But the thing about time is, time, I am the destroyer of worlds. So who wants time? Krishna, each time, every moment that you are not surrendering to Krishna, Krishna will give you time. Okay, take time and go and work on your other priorities. And then everything gets destroyed. Right? And then you come to your senses. Okay, maybe this time I'm ready to surrender. But no, I can't do it. I can't surrender. I want to, but I can't. No. Okay, Krishna says, no problem. Take time. Right? And again, time, I am the destroyer of worlds. Right. So each time he gives us time when we don't surrender. Good luck with it. Time, I am the destroyer of worlds. Isn't it? So who wants to take time? So an intelligent devotee says, no. I don't need any time. No, that's okay. I'll do it now. No, that's okay. Don't give me time. I'm going to surrender now. So this is it, Ultimately, we have to surrender now and trust in Krishna. Krishna is not the big bad boogeyman, I am the big bad boogeyman. You have to surrender to me. Right? Krishna is not like that. No. Krishna is nice. So Krishna will not make it too difficult to surrender. He will make it easy to surrender. He is sensitive. He will allow you anyway to surrender bit by bit. So just surrender to Krishna, because he'll let you surrender. He won't make it. He'll test you. He'll make it difficult. You'll feel a little strain while doing it, but he will protect you. He will protect. That we have to understand. And if you do not understand yet, take time. Time I am, the destroyer of worlds. Take it, take it, take it. Krishna has all the time of the world. So if you want some, he'll give it to you. There's no rush. If you need a little more time before you can go back to Godhead, no problem. You can have it, right? As much as you want. Krishna has unlimited supply, and he will give unlimited time. Yeah. Isn't it? So, you're satisfied? Man. Okay. Oh. Yes, Prabhu.
We are part and parcels of God, yeah? But what do you suggest to find Krishna in ourselves or in others? How to find Krishna in others?
How to find Krishna in others? By serving them. If you realize that Krishna is in the heart of a Vaishnava, then he's worshipable. Of course, Krishna is in the heart of all living entities, therefore all living entities are worthy of respect and worthy of affection, etc. So, and it is to be understood that every living entity is potentially an eternal blissful devotee of the Lord. So even the biggest demons, right, ultimately can also be transformed. But of course, that may be not our job. That may be Krishna's job or someone else's job. So we are particularly associating with the innocent. Mm-hmm. It said we are associating with those who are not envious. So we are recognizing the Supreme Lord in the heart of those who are not envious, and those who are trying to somehow or other encourage to connect with Krishna in the heart. That's our service. And those who have done so, we worship them. We worship them. So devotees, we worship them.
The mind can only engage in the sound object, and the sound object don't handle the mind. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that all the sound objects, that there are the Sri Vishin of the mercy, of the mercy of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are all meant for to be engaged in Krishna service.
Yeah.
My question is, should I try to see that?
Or is that dangerous? Yes, it is. The sense objects can be engaged in Krishna's service. But if at the same time you have a desire to enjoy that sense object also, then it is very difficult to engage it in the service of Krishna. And then it's very dangerous to engage it in the service of Krishna. Still, sometimes you may have to do that. On the order of a Vaishnava, of a superior Vaishnava, you may have to do that. But on your own accord, don't start engaging sense objects in the service to Krishna that at the same time you also have a desire to enjoy. That you should not do. Because then in the name of Krishna consciousness, you may be cultivating material attachments, maintain material attachments, which is a tenth offense against the holy name. So in this dealings, there is a risk. There's a risk that you might maintain material attachments. That's how it happens.
Yes, Maharaj, you were also explaining about how you joined Krishna and with all the things you had.
Oh, yeah.
And we have the tendency, especially in the beginning, that we are very enthusiastic and we live very simple, but later on we try to increase mm-hmm. our situation. For example, we have a normal order, but we want a better one, we want this better. Where does that tendency come from?
The day you join, you for a moment want to be a pure devotee. Yeah? You're convinced, you know, that from now on, from this day on, I'm going to be a pure devotee. And you shave up, you know, or whatever. And you consider, this is it, you know, this is it. Now I'm finished with material life. I'm Krishna, I'm yours. And you are so humble. It is amazing. You do anything, you know, and so sincere, right? But, you know, We are like children in spiritual life, and we are so easily renouncing things, but we don't know the pain of renunciation. We have no idea. So after a little while, we are beginning to feel the pain of renunciation. So, this is painful. I can't give this up. This hurts too much. We are so heroic the moment we join. It's like, you know, when I was a kid, right, I was like very young, a small kid, and I had this little toy animal. And then one day, some friend of my mother's had a kid that was born without arms and legs. So it was very sad, you know. And the kid was visiting our house. So my mother's telling me the whole day, the kid is coming without arms and legs. And I was a kid, so I was like, my God, you know, a kid without arms and legs is coming to our house, you know. Saying, wow, you know, can you imagine, you know, a kid coming to our house that has no arms and legs. Says, what it's going to be. And my mother's telling me that, like, yes, you know, it's very sad, you know, a poor child and there's no arms and legs. Can you imagine, you know, the child cannot even play, you know. And I think I was crying, you know, thinking, God, what a terrible thing for a poor child, cannot even play. So then, you know, I thinking I should give a gift, you know. So then I gave my favorite toy animal, you know, like I gave it to the kid, right? So like in a moment of renunciation, you know, little did I know, you know, little did I know what renunciation is all about, you know. I was crying in my bed at night, you know, for like till after midnight. I couldn't stop, you know, because my attachments came out. So I had no idea about attachments. No, because I was innocent like a child. So when we join, we're spiritual like little children. And our renunciation is exactly the same like mine was when I gave up my toy animal. Yeah? We have no idea how to deal with it. So later we begin to realize a little better that there is pain connected to renunciation. Then we become a little careful. And then, yes, sometimes a little too careful. Or not careful enough. It depends from what perspective you're looking at it. So there must be a balance. It is that all the ashrams in our movement, I'm a sannyasi, of course, but it is clear all the ashrams are meant for renunciation. That's in the first kind of Bhagavatam. You can read how Vyasadeva was a grihastha and living in an ashram. And then it is described in the purport how all the ashrams are meant for renunciation. Not the sannyasa ashram, no, the grihastha ashram. But different degrees of renunciation. But renunciation is our program because the material energy is maya energy. What to do? What to do? All right. I think we'll end with this. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.